If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to be looking at a couple of verses out of chapter 5 as we continue our study through 1 Thessalonians this afternoon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, but that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would teach us the lessons that we need to learn. Help us understand the truths that are here for us. And Father, speak to our hearts this afternoon, and may we be prepared as we draw nearer to the day of your appearing. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is reminding the nation, the church at Thessalonica, of the fact that God has not left us without direction about when he shall return. And the scriptures are filled with prophecies dealing with his second coming. The apostle starts out, he says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why does he say that? Because he's taught them, he's given them the Old Testament with the prophets there. And the prophets in the Old Testament have revealed things that would happen. In the book of Daniel, it talks about what it's going to be like before the Lord returns. And we see many of those things happening today. This afternoon, I'd just like to go over some of the things that the scriptures say are going to occur before the day of the Lord. And whenever you hear it says the day of the Lord, it is speaking about God's coming for his day of judgment. Paul had already talked about the first portion of the coming, second coming of Christ, when he come to gather his church. He's going to deal with, now he's going to deal with when the Lord returns and sets his feast upon the earth and comes to judge and comes to establish his kingdom. There are many indications that the rapture may be near, but we need to consider the following as straws in the wind, or things that are indicating that it's very near. We know that the Bible speaks about the events that will be put into place, and when the rapture does occur, things will have to be into place to begin very quickly, because the last 7 years occur. As I mentioned this morning, the minute the rapture takes place, the seven-year period known as the tribulation kicks off and begins. And there are things that are going to happen, that have happened, that are in the process of happening, that indicate the rapture could happen at any time. First of all, I want you to think about some events that have happened globally in the world today. First of all is the formation of the State of Israel in 1948. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verse 29. Luke 21, verse 29, we read the following. And he spake to them in a parable, and this is Jesus, behold, a fig tree and all the trees. The fig tree spoken of here is the nation of Israel. All the trees would be all the other nations of the world. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So, and we know that going back to the Old Testament, it's foretold that Israel would come back into the land. That had not happened for 1940 some years, until 1948, when Israel came back as a nation into the land, and they were formed as a nation. They were not formed as two nations. When they left the land, they were two nations. Judah and the nation of Israel because of the various dispersions that had occurred. And the last dispersions coming under the Romans, when they were dispersed amongst the nations. They had not been a recognizable nation since that time. In the history of the world, there has not been a nation that has come back into existence after being gone for 2,000 years, as Israel did. As it says here, the fig tree, which be Israel, is shooting forth, that is, putting forth its leaves. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 29 through 31, we read of those events happening. For the first time in centuries, the Jews have a national existence in their own homeland. This means that the kingdom of God is near. And we know that it is near. And a side note here, there is one of the messages brought at the Berean Call Conference was Gog and Magog, but brought by Mr. Congdon. And he's talking about events that are happening in the Middle East in light of the book of Ezekiel. And you see that the alignment of the nations that were given that would come against Israel in the last days were Russia, Iran, Syria. And these nations are united, Iraq. And we see that they are uniting in a coalition. And we see other prophecies that talk about Turkey and Germany being involved with them. And one would say, well, why would Germany be involved? Well, today we know that in Europe, Germany has one of the largest Muslim populations of any nation in the world. We know that Turkey, which had been and still is a part of NATO, which is a Western alliance, has become very, very anti-West and much more supportive of Iran and Russia. And Russia has agreements with Turkey as far as things like power plants and dams. And so we see that these alliances are coming together even as we speak. So the fig tree has shot out its leaves, and the other trees are doing their thing as well. Secondly, the rise of many other nations, and we see that in Luke 21. Jesus predicted that not only would the fig tree shoot forth, but that all trees as well. We have recently witnessed the demise of the colonial governments and the proliferations of new nations throughout the world, and then also these nations have been coming together in alliances that the Bible spoke of literally thousands of years before they occurred. Thirdly, the return of Israel to the land in unbelief. They would not come back believing in God, but would come back in unbelief. And this is exactly what happened. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 and 25, we see that Israel was predicted that they would come back into the land, but in unbelief. Ezekiel prophesied that it would only be after their return that they would be cleansed from their sins. Israel today is largely an agnostic nation. Only a few but very vocal segment of the people are Orthodox Jews, and then they don't believe really in the Bible. They believe in the teaching of the rabbis, and they are not real Bible students per se, but they are Orthodox and very legalistic in their beliefs. So Israel is a nation that has come back in unbelief. Fourthly, the ecumenical movement. This is spoken of in the scriptures. In Revelation chapters 17 and 18, it speaks about Mystery Babylon. And it says, we understand Babylon the Great to be a vast religious, political, and commercial system made up of apostate religious bodies that profess to be Christian, perhaps a merger of apostate Catholicism and apostate Protestantism. Christendom is becoming increasingly apostate. And I was going to bring a couple verses out of Timothy this morning, but ran out of time. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And if this was ever true in the church, it is true today. We see many things coming into the church. We've talked before and we've brought out messages. Yoga. Who would have thought that yoga would come into the church being actively promoted by many denominations as part of their church program? We also see that psychology has become the main form of counseling, not in apostate churches, but in churches that claim to be Bible-believing evangelical churches. They would say that a pastor cannot counsel effectively out of the Scriptures. He needs to go to school to learn how to counsel along the lines of the psychologists, Freud, Adler, Jung, and these men, who are all God-haters, and who were men who proposed a system, a belief system that is totally antithetical to Christianity. And so we see that these things are coming into the church today, and this is true. Fifthly, the worldwide increase in Spiritism. I just heard a talk about how Spiritism is becoming a real issue in the world today, and in the U.S. today, Spiritism is becoming much greater. Verse 3 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And we see that today there is Spiritism and a belief system that ties around abstaining from certain types of foods, really being focused on doing a lot of things and really seeking direction from spirit guides and demons, for really we know them to be demons, that would come to give them direction. This is oversweeping vast areas of the earth. A lot of people thought, well, how could that be with Islam? Because Islam governs by the sword, but within Islam there is a mystical movement in Islam. The Sunnis are the a group of people, and you probably remember hearing about the whirling dervish. That was a Sunni that would be working himself up into, that would work himself up into a state as he's seeking to have this mystical experience. And that was referred to as a whirling dervish. Well, there in all areas, in all countries, there's mysticism. And mysticism has come into the church. You remember, supposedly there was revival in Toronto a number of years ago. And the revival was people being overtaken and going out of their minds, literally, barking like dogs, acting like monkeys, doing all kinds of bizarre and strange things. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we're to do those things. And it talks about that in the last days that would be happening. The sixth thing, there'll be a drastic decline in moral standards. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This known also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Is that a statement of the condition, the moral condition of America today? I would say that it is. So look at the attitude of many people in our culture, and these are the adjectives that you would use to describe their attitudes and actions. But it's not only in our culture. You see that it's all an attitude all over the world. And there's the daily newspapers offer plenty of evidence of these things happening. And if you look at what's happened in Chicago recently, the number of killings that have gone on in Chicago, why should it be going on? Most of them are related to gangs and related to I've got my turf, I want my way, I want my thing. You're not going to come into my territory. I'm going to kill you if you do, and I don't care who gets in the way. And that's the attitude, and it puts itself out. Except, and this comes off of these attitudes, the violence and civil disobedience. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. We read the following. It says, but we were gentle. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and with then destroy with the brightness of his coming. Violence and civil disobedience, wickedness, evil, becoming more and more prevalent. And as the church has much of a less of an impact because of her lack of following and allowing to be infiltrated by apostasy, has a less of an impact on the world. And then finally, when the church is removed by the rapture completely, then Satan will have his way. But it's becoming more and more wicked, as we see, and more and more violent. The spirit of lawlessness is abounding in the home, in the national life, and even in the church. I never thought that I'd see the day where we have riots in the streets again in America like we've had since 2016. And it's becoming more and more common. And these riots are being instituted by evil and wicked men. They are paying people to go in and agitate crowds and stir up riots and cause things to happen. The scripture said that this is going to happen in the last days. People, number eight, people will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Today we see that there are many people that attend church, but a lot of people don't know what it is to be saved. I've given you statistics before that come out of the churches where people don't believe that go to attend Christian churches, and some would say that they're evangelical Christian churches, yet they say that there's other ways to get to heaven besides believing in Jesus. There are other things that can be done to deal with people's spiritual issues besides the scriptures. We know that the power of God is being undermined and destroyed by the doctrines of demons and the vain philosophies of men within the churches as apostasy is entered in, and this is becoming more and more evident. And then people think that they're very godly because they attend church, they belong to religious organizations, they do, quote, good things, but they have no power. Because you can't have power without the Holy Spirit. You can't have power without the blood of Jesus. You can't have power without having a relationship and being the child of God. And you have to see people that think they have power, but they have none. Ninth, the rise of the anti-Christian spirit. 1 John 2:18. John speaks a lot in his first letter of the Antichrist. In 1 John 2:18, he says the following, little children, it is the last time that you have heard that the Antichrist will come. Even now, are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time? Now, John lived 1900 or 2000 years ago when he wrote that letter. We know that it's gotten worse since that time. There are many that claim to be the Messiah, who want to take the place, who want to use church, and who want to use the rise of anti-Christian spirit manifested in the multiplication of false cults, the claims of Christians that deny the very fundamental doctrine of the faith, which is imitation. Now, if you just stop and think about a couple of those. One has commercials on TV quite often. TV, I talk about those. they promote, the wonderful godly things they promote, and you know something about the church. And they put these commercials on, but they fail to tell you they have no power. Why? Because they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. They believe in a different Jesus, a different means of salvation. They believe that every person will evolve into the in God. And they teach that Jesus and Lucifer were half-brothers. And they teach that Elohim is the father of Jesus and Lucifer, and that Lucifer's upset because Jesus got picked to be the Messiah for Earth instead of Lucifer. And it's just a whole bunch of nonsense. And it's totally unbiblical. Yet we see that many people today believe they're Christian. And this isn't just people that are watching the commercials on TV about the family coming together in family life. We have, for example, one Bible teacher that's very famous, Rabbi Zacharias, went to the Mormon Tabernacle and spoke. And when he talked about Jesus, they didn't throw him out. And as a matter of fact, he said he brought a very good message. Well, if he presented the true gospel, they wouldn't have had anything to say about him, and, except to escort him out. I remember David Hawkins saying that he had been asked to go to the Mormon Tabernacle, and when they got there, they said, "We have a Bible for you, and we'd like to give it to you as a gift." And he gave him this Bible, and he looked at it for a few minutes. He said, "Well, I get a different one." And then, "Well, why do you want a different one?" He said, "Well, this one evidently has a lot of errors in publication." He says, "Why? What do you mean? We didn't see any." And he says, "Well, it's got a whole bunch of extra things that are added on the back that aren't part of the Bible. It's got a whole bunch of things that are added on the front that aren't part of the Bible. So I know that this must not be the real Bible." And they didn't really like what David Hawking had to say. But you see, if you tell them the truth, they're not going to want to hear what you say. And that is the Antichrist spirit. And you see, the Antichrist spirit is penetrating throughout the world. The current Pope is encouraging all religions to come together. He is the most ecumenical Pope that has really ever been, because he always has a wonderful smile on his face and seems like a really gentle person. But he is very anti-Christ in his spirit, and he stands and would say that all of these are his brethren praying to the same God as he prays to. Well, they may be praying to the same God as he's praying to, because he must not be praying to the true and the living God if he's praying to their God. So, a spirit of anti-Christ. The tenth thing, a tendency for nations to confederate along lines that approximate the lineup of the latter day. The European common market, based on what is known as the Treaty of Rome, may lead to a revival of the Roman Empire, the 10 toes of iron and clay, as found in Daniel. And then I mentioned something that's coming out of Ezekiel. Never before in the world's history, until our lifetime, have Iran and Russia been buddies. Just stop and think about that. Never before have they been buddies. And now they're bringing in Syria and Turkey. And I'm sure to say Germany will be following soon. The scriptures are saying that in the last days it's going to align just like it's said in the scriptures, just like God said it would be in the last time. If you look at, Roberta was mentioning when we were talking earlier about the fact that she's been reading about what's happening in Syria right now, and that Russia has troops on the ground in Syria. Never before happened. And our military was so depleted during the Obama years that we don't have the means at this time to stop them and press back. Our current president is trying to change that. He's trying to increase our military. But if you stop and think about this, doesn't just happen with a snap of the fingers and an issue of the check. Being involved in construction and industry, I know that it takes more than a day to build weapons and to build infrastructure and to build and to get men trained. So we see that there are alliances that are occurring today that have never occurred before but it is what the Scriptures said. 11, the denial of the impending intervention of God in the affairs of the world by the way of judgment, found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. You'll have to look those up when you get home. I've got two more things to cover, and we're just about out of time. But in 2 Peter, it talks about that in the last days there would be people, and they say, oh, they're saying he's coming again. Where is this? When is he coming? We don't believe he's coming. And they scoff. They're scoffers. That is what you're seeing today. People scoff at Christianity. Again, at lunch today, we were just talking a little bit about some of the things that are happening. The people we were at lunch with mentioned the fact that they've been listening to Fox News, and Fox News had been talking about the fact that Christians needed, and I forget the exact thing they said, but it had to deal with Christians being really insignificant and Christians not making really mattering. And it's really the beginning of what you're seeing of an anti-Christian movement that's coming at the same time of an anti-Semitic movement to shove Christians to the side, saying we have nothing to say and we are really meaningless in the whole scope of things. And that's really saying God really has no impact on the affairs of men. And God's judgment won't be coming. To these we could be added indications such as earthquakes in many countries, the threat of worldwide famine, and the increasing hostility among nations. Those are given in Matthew chapter 24. And we know that earthquakes are increasing. There's just another big earthquake, this last week, I believe. I forget where it was. They're becoming so common you can't even remember them. We used to have a large earthquake, and wow, that was news, and you remembered it. Now they don't even put some of them on the mainline news. You hardly hear anything about it. I remember where it was. Now it was in Indonesia. There were two major earthquakes in Indonesia, and it was on the island where all the tourists go, and there was a tremendous amount of destruction. And it says the failure of governments to maintain law and order and to suppress terrorism creates a climate for a world dictator. Is that happening today? They're seeing that terrorism is at an all-time. Every time, about every month, something's happening in Europe with terrorism. Whether it's in England or Belgium, somewhere over there, there'll be something happening. We see that terrorist plots, we just talked about one that was stifled, were a plot against Israel. The terrorism, and this will breed a climate where they demand solutions, and you're going to have a man, the Scriptures tell us, a man is going to come and say, I've got the solution, listen to me, and I'll give you the solution, but you need to make me leader of the whole world, dictator of the world. The building of nuclear arsenals gives added meaning to such questions as who is able to make war with him. That is the Antichrist, the beast, which is found in Revelation 13:4. Worldwide television facilities may be the means of fulfilling scriptures describing events that will be seen simultaneously all over the planet. I've talked about that before. Today, for the first time in the history of the world, you can have something shot in all the way around the world, in China or Russia or Europe, and simultaneously broadcast to the UN, or the United States rather, just in milliseconds because of the technology that we have today. You can take and send an email all the way around the world in a matter of seconds. We have a friend in Germany, and used to be we would send him Christmas cards, and he sent us Christmas cards, but we do it via email. And he sent us a card, and it would get there like right away. So we see that worldwide, the scripture describes events that will be simultaneously broadcast. Most of these events are foreseen before Christ returns to earth to reign. They're the things that are going to be put in place before the Lord returns. The Bible does not say they will take place before the rapture, but before his appearance in glory. If that is so, and if we see these trends developing already, then the obvious conclusion is that the rapture might be near at hand. So Paul is telling them, in closing, going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you see that he says, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord still cometh as a thief in the night. Nobody knows exactly when it's going to come, but he's given us all the signs to show it. The only problem is the world's not going to be looking for him, and the church is not. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as prevail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Now, Dave Hunt wrote a book and dealt with the whole concept of peace and safety in the last days, and how the people would be trying peace and safety. Francis Schaeffer also wrote in one of his books how the great thing in the last days would be people would be willing to give up anything so that they could have peace and prosperity. And that's what people are looking for. Just give me peace. Just give me prosperity. Just let me have my amusement so I don't have to think. And I will be happy. And the Antichrist will be glad to do that. Satan will be glad to do that. And he'll think everything is going well until all of a sudden the Lord appears and judgment is at hand. Well, we'll pick up here next Sunday in the last portion of chapter 5 and look some more when Paul deals with the rapture, the second coming of Christ, and why we have hope. As we look at the events around the world, you don't have to be afraid. Many people are fearful because of everything they see on the news, and they become overwhelmed with it, which you can. Somebody said the best solution is to just turn off the TV, shut down the radio, and don't pick up a newspaper, and you'll be fine. Just read your Bible. The thing is, if you look at the newspaper or listen to the television news and listen to the radio news, don't be overwhelmed. Just realize Jesus knew all about this before it even happened. And he said all these things were going to happen, and they were going to be put in place, and it was going to be signed as a woman that was ready to deliver. I've got a daughter who's getting ready to deliver her baby. When we go up and see her, you can tell she's getting ready to deliver her baby. She's a lot bigger than she used to be. And it's harder for her to get around because her time is at hand. And the thing is, there are signs that you can see. I know that she's going to have a baby. There's no doubt in my mind she's going to have a baby because the signs are all there. Just the same thing, there's no doubt in my mind that we are drawing ever closer to the rapture because all the signs are there. The things that I just shared with you tonight, out of the scriptures, and give you examples out of the world, that those are all happening and pointing to the fact that the Lord's return is drawing ever closer. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Help us to be willing to share these things with people. And Lord, help us to be willing to be your vessel to be used to share the gospel.